Okay, I'm sorry. The player that I was screaming at is a forward, but for some reason he keeps hanging back at the blue line with all the defensemen.
But you realize that they're hanging back right now because they're trying to kill a power play.
Always on top of our game, this is the Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
That is exactly what's happening.
Damn it, Fox, keep your stick down!
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
When we fly by night, it's like a rocket flight, and baby, that's just what it's for. We fly by night, it makes you feel alright, you keep coming.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have everybody with us here tonight. With me, as always, Jason Pajak alongside. How are you, Jay?
Good. It was a crazy couple days with the news. So
yeah. I was going to say, I thought you were going to bring up the weather. I was going to say, if you dropped me in the middle of Winnipeg in January and asked me where I was with the weather we're getting, I would not guess Winnipeg.
Oh, it was insane. Like, looking at, like, I didn't have a chance to get outside much today, but seeing that it was 0 degrees.
Apparently it got up to +2 today.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't happen ever in January in Winnipeg.
No, and we're going to be seeing a little bit more of it in the next few days, so.
So either way, great weather, and certainly we're not complaining too much about it, although, again, it doesn't feel like winter at all in terms of where we are. But in saying that, though, let's get into some of the stuff that's gone on, because we had a busy, busy week of hockey news, busy, busy week of things that are going on. Lots to talk about from the last couple of days as well. But we'll start with a story that came out of kind of nowhere, although it was kind of known for a while. Last Saturday, Saturday just passed, the New York Islanders decided to make a bit of a change as they fired Lane Lambert and replaced him with Patrick Waugh. Jason, your thoughts on Patty Waugh coming back to the NHL after basically an 8-year absence following a rather unhappy breakup with the Colorado Avalanche?
Yeah, like, I was shocked but not shocked. Like, I wasn't surprised that the Islanders are going to make a change. Like, the way that their season has gone, the way the last couple of years have gone after the performances that they put together, like,
right,
you know, back-to-back-to-back fantastic playoff runs, but I was surprised that it was Patrick Waugh, just knowing the way that Lou Lamoriello likes his teams to play, particularly, you know, going back to the New Jersey days and now with the Islanders. I was surprised that Patrick Waugh was the guy that he picked to be the coach. But I think maybe he's looking at it as a, we need to shake things up in that room. And the best way to do that is to put a guy with the track record and attitude of Patrick Waugh.
Yeah. But I mean, you have options out there. I mean, it's not like there aren't guys like Gerard Gallant that's out there. There's not guys, you know, there are guys, Bruce Boudreau is out there in terms of, you know, playing a little bit more of a defensive style of hockey, the way that Lou likes to play. But it's funny because when Lou was on the call with the media, his entire phrasing was, quote, Patrick Waugh was the only person I was interested in. That's why he's here today. Like, he didn't even bother to look anywhere else other than maybe Patrick Waugh, which, I mean, to me, I'm not surprised at. I'm with you. I think that overall Waugh can have a big impact on how these Islanders are playing this game and certainly how they move forward going from this point on to the end of the season. Whether or not they make the playoffs, completely different setup. I mean, they're only 4 points out of a playoff spot in terms of where they were. They did win against Dallas the other night as well. Tough team to beat. But at the same time, though, you kind of look at what Patrick Waugh has done elsewhere and you go, I understand people are not equating junior to NHL hockey, but in the last 300 games since rejoining the Quebec Remparts as head coach, he's a 175-96-29 coach at the junior level. So he can certainly coach, which is great. He has a Memorial Cup, which he won in 2023. He won the Maurice Filion Trophy in as a GM of the Year in the QMJHL in 2022, and then added a Gilles Courteau Trophy in 2023 as QMJHL Coach of the Year. He also won a Jack Adams in Colorado. So again, it's not like the guy can't coach, but I think, again, you might have hit the nail square on the head. This shakes up the entire team to say, we played one way before and it didn't work. Let's try a completely different view now.
Exactly. Like I think Lou saw the writing on the wall with the fact that that team cannot score goals.
No. Yeah.
Like, it has been a problem for years that, you know, no matter what offensive talent is on that team, no matter how good players like Barzal and Pollock are, and, you know, they had Pelish there, they had Devon Taves there for a while, obviously John Tavares until he went off to the Leafs. Like, they've had guys that could put the puck in the back of the net or at least contribute to offense, but they could never string it together in a way that they needed. And I think having a more aggressive style of coach, which Patrick Waugh really is, and we saw that when he was coaching in Colorado, with, you know, the pulling the goalie with 15 minutes left in the game, you know, kind of strategy.
Some of that backfired, though.
Yeah, it did. Go big or go home with Patrick Waugh. But I think, like, I'm not surprised that he's back in the NHL because, you know, you mentioned the 2023 Memorial Cup win, and I remember all of the conversation around that win was less about, hey, it's great the Remparts won the Memorial Cup. How great is it that, you know, this arena here in Quebec has seen some fantastic hockey and great support from the fans. I can't wait for the NHL to get back here. But it was all around, where is Patrick Waugh going after this? Is he done in junior after winning a Memorial Cup? Well, and now we're seeing that eventually, yes, it was kind of the end.
Well, you know, it was 2 weeks after the Memorial Cup ended that he was leaving. So, yeah, I mean, that was kind of the writing on the wall, so to speak. But, I mean, you mentioned scoring goals being the problem. This season, it's not that they haven't had a problem scoring goals this season. They have. They've had some injuries. They've had some guys out long term. But I look at it more of as a defensive problem. And I really hope that Patrick Waugh can shore up the defense. Because, again, you look at Ilya Sorokin and you go, he's not a bad goalie. Like, there's no way he's a bad goalie.
He has the potential to be one of the best goaltenders in the world.
Right. He's a .908 save percentage right now, which is middle of the pack. Not great, but not terrible. But he has a 3.21 goals against average. Mm-hmm. Like, he's making the saves that he can make, but they're just getting lit up in other facets of the game. So either they're facing too many shots and he's making way more saves than he has to and still giving up 3 goals per game, or he's making the right number of saves on, say, 30 shots a night and giving up 3 out of every, you know, 30 shots that he's giving. To me, that's a defensive thing. And if Patrick Waugh can figure out how to get the defense to play a little bit better, maybe we're talking about an Islanders team that can climb the standings. But really, that's where I look at the biggest improvement is if they can stop goals from going in. I think they have enough. I think they've got enough to get over that hump and get into the playoffs.
But that's part of why they claimed Mike Riley, right? Like, was to try to shore up that defense. Cause I'm looking at their cap friendly and, you know, it's Adam Pelish, Noah Dobson, and a bunch of guys that I would not trust against, you know, the top 6 of most NHL teams.
That's nothing against Romanov. Romanov's not a guy you trust. No,
not really. So I think that is definitely a problem. But, like, again, you look up and it does also come down to he's really, like, Lou Lamoriello has really tied himself to a particular kind of player.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And I think that's doing them a disservice. Like, what kind of, you know, 200-foot game does Cal Clutterbuck or Matt Martin have? Like, Pierre Engvall is huge and he signed until, you know, the world ends, but he's big for nothing.
Right. He's got like 8 points this season. He's not doing anything important. Like, right.
Cal Palmieri is on the tail end of his career. JG Pageot is, you know, exiting his prime. Like, you've got Anders Lee at 33 years old, signed up until 26, 27.
Well, I mean, I'll say this about Anders Lee. There might be nobody better in front of the net than Anders Lee, but I mean, you got to get the puck to the front of the net. I get that.
Mm-hmm. But, like, you've got that top, you know, that top 3 of Barzal, Horvat, Lee. And then you look down and it's like, okay, where are the goals coming from? Where's the production coming from? But also, where's the defense coming from? Because, like, it's a lot of, like, a very particular type of player. and you really need to start changing things. And I do think, like, there is a, not to say that there's ever a culture problem with a Lou Lamoriello team, like, he has his guys on a pretty tight leash, but I think we can't discredit the fact that in his first practice for the Islanders, Patrick Waugh didn't like what he was seeing from a couple drills, stopped the drill, and just screamed at the team. Like, that's a way to put your stamp on, like, this is how we're going to do things now. This is how things are right now.
But I think that, again, I think that him coming in and sort of establishing that, like, listen, this is not good enough, and you guys need to be told that, is a good way for him to sort of, you know, get everybody on board in terms of what he's trying to do. I'm not taking anything away from the competition they're going to play in the next couple of days. They have Vegas. They play Vegas. They play Montreal on Thursday. They go into Montreal on Thursday. So, I mean, you know, there's going to be a few of the you know, the cat calling and the boos probably coming from the Montreal faithful. Right, exactly. But I really look at this now and I go, if you're gonna look at how the Islanders have to play to get in down, it's gonna have to be playoff hockey for the rest of the season for them. And if they learn to do that now, and again, I'm not trying to compare it to a Boston, which we saw against Winnipeg the other day. I'm not comparing it to a Winnipeg by any means. But if you look at those teams that have been playing the right way all season, where they've been doing the little things right all season, suddenly it becomes habit. And I think that's what he's trying to establish, is that rather than making this a brand new system or a brand new, let's make this habit so that it becomes part of what you guys do out there.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And him putting his foot down and stopping a drill and saying, do it right or do it this way, this is the way I want to see it done, that forms that habit. And I think for Patrick Waugh, that's a good way for him to sort of get on and get things going with his maybe less than bought in players that kind of go, oh, it's just a new coach. We'll have to, you know, see what we do here.
Yeah, exactly. And like we're the position where the Islanders are in the standings. Like, we've seen teams come back from worse.
Right. Yeah.
At this point in the season, and even this year, we've seen teams completely turn it around. Like the San Jose Sharks went on a tear and erased that, you know, terrible slide that they had at the start of the year. You know, obviously the Edmonton Oilers are on the streak that they're on. The Jets went from a kind of middling looking sort of bad team to one of the top teams in the NHL. Like, you can turn it around fairly quickly,
right?
Particularly this year. So I would not be surprised if the Islanders can, you know, grab a hold of a spot in the playoffs. Especially in the Metro division with the way the Metro is going.
Well, yeah, that's up for grabs right now in terms of anybody having it. But I mean, I look at it and I go, I think this is a good move overall, but, let's get to a move that maybe a lot of people are questioning now, because, as we sort of sit here and work through the details and try to figure out what's going on, Hockey Canada has been under sort of an appeal, I guess, from a number of players and or agents about the findings that they had in the report that they filed. And now we're starting to see some of that come to light as London police are reaching out to various players and asking them to surrender and come into to the London Police Department, London Police Headquarters, and basically, you know, sit underneath the hot lights of an interrogation room, I guess, in terms of what's going to happen.
Well, the statement says to face charges.
Well, but this is the thing, though, is I don't, we'll get to the number of players in a second and all that kind of stuff or whatever, but if you're going to bring them in on their own, and again, I know we talked about this earlier in the day, and certainly it's less of a circus if you bring them in unarrested. Let them come in on their own.
Exactly.
I could get that.
Like, I immediately go to the Aaron Hernandez arrest from a few years ago where, you know, all of the media was watching him get led out of his house on national television. Like, you, when you have a situation like this in a high profile case like this, it is meant to honestly preserve the dignity of those going in and to not have a circus that the police have to deal with. Just to let them come in on their own, show that, like, it's a case where the police are certain that they, if you ask, they will show up. And they don't have to go and get them, particularly when, you know, all of the names that have been released are in other jurisdictions where they have to, in some cases, fly overseas, potentially, to be there. Like, so to ask them, hey, come here, talk to us, you know, this is the situation. Oh, it shows that.
Right. Know? Right. No, I'm not disagreeing with that. Mm-hmm. The issue that I'm wondering about, though, again, and maybe this is where we need somebody who's got a deeper understanding of the legal field here, but mm-hmm. they mentioned that five players were being called in. And as of right now, the players who have taken personal leave to be away from their teams are Carter Hart, Dylan Dubé, Alex Formanton from his Swiss team.
Where they were very specific that he was taking the leave to go back to Canada.
Right, yeah. They made it clear he was coming back to Canada. Cal Foote and Michael McLeod. Now, those are the five players they've mentioned. There have been other names bandied about in terms of what's going on, but those are the five players that have specifically mm-hmm. asked and received indefinite leaves from their team. Again, not mm-hmm. saying that they're going to be charged with anything, not saying that it's going to happen, because, again, this is an area where the charges could range anywhere from obstruction to simply, you know, being charged with the full crime, with the full, mm-hmm. you know, sexual assault crime. But at the end of the day, I look at this and I go, how is this not a circus now, though? Like, mm-hmm. the NHL teams, in terms of trying to preserve these players, again, I get the London police were trying to preserve their dignity and maybe have them come in quietly. The NHL went and just blasted this on full volume and said, hey, these are our players that are going that aren't going to be with their teams anymore. Hint, hint, wink, wink. Mm-hmm. And I go, okay, so Carter Hart was tried to be like Philly tried to trade him earlier in the year. Formanton wasn't offered a contract. Cal Foote and McLeod are having problems getting signed long term. Dubé is who knows what's going to happen with him. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand that there are some issues here. But when you look at how the teams have treated these players in terms of their negotiations, in terms of their contracts, mm-hmm. how is this not a circus?
Well, it's the NHL being the NHL, right? Like, they can, there's a right way to do it, and the NHL always does it in the opposite way. right? Like, it's...
I don't disagree. I just find it funny that if it's the NHL, bet against the smart thing.
Like, I feel like we know that we now know more details, or like nothing confirmed and shown, like confirmed openly, but we know a little bit more about the Perry situation, and that like Chicago let him go because they have that cloud around them and they just want to, if there's a problem, get rid of it. We don't want to deal with anything close to what we have to deal with. I think the NHL, with a few of the incidents that they have failed to keep under wraps in the last few years, and have been exposed for having, or at least some of their organizations having kept under wraps, it would make sense to me that there's an ordinance coming down from Gary Bettman's office to say, like, hey, full transparency the whole way. We do not want to be surprised by anything. We do not want to, you know, be caught with our pants down about anything. Like, if somebody realizes, oh, Carter Hart's not with the team anymore because he's the starting goaltender for the Flyers, like, people are going to notice when he's not around.
Sure, yeah.
You have to mention that. You know, when you've got, you know, Formanton's a completely different scenario because his name has been out there since the beginning, almost. But I think there's no way of avoiding it at this point, because the NHL didn't get out in front of it to begin with, that it's been kind of a bunch of things have now snowballed to where there is no choice but for it to be a circus.
Well, but I mean, I'm not trying to put the cart before the horse here. I mean, these players are going to have their, you know, their due course in terms of what's going to happen, and they may be eventually be charged.
And we also don't know if any of these players are actually surrendering themselves.
Right.
Like, the Dylan Dubé release said he was attending to mental health issues, wow, and was in the care of health professionals. Like,
we're going to get to that in a second in terms, yeah, of whether or not.
But that... like, it could be something like, it could be a case of wrong place, wrong time.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
For some of these situations. But, you know, it is interesting that the report comes out and suddenly we have the list of five very quickly within 24 hours who are all on that team.
Okay, but so Cal Foote has maintained, his agent has maintained that he was not at the gala, was not in the area that night, which makes you wonder, okay, is he telling the truth, number one, because obviously he wouldn't be called to London if that's the case, mm-hmm. assuming that he's going to London. But B, if he's not involved, why do they need to talk to him? Like, what are they doing here?
Or so, does he potentially know something and they are, he's not part of the five, but they are asking for him, for...
Or, Or did he just maintain he wasn't there and didn't, and actually knows more than what he does? Like, that's the question now, right? Is there's going to be all these layers that are going to be piled on top of each other. Again, I'm not going to speculate on who's going to get charged with what or anything like that. I don't think that's fair to anybody. But my question is if these five guys are, at one way or the other, going to be charged with something, what do we do with them now? Because they can't, I mean, again, you're not in a court of law yet. You've only been charged with a crime in terms of being told this is what you're being charged with. You're not actually, you know, like they've basically not found them guilty of anything yet, only that a charge has been issued. So what do we do with this now? Because can they come back? Do we want them back? What's going to happen to their contracts? Are they voided? Are they still allowed to be, you know, part of the team in terms of using their services? Like, how do we get around this massive hump? And I wish the NHL was more transparent about that part, as opposed to just being transparent about, oh, these guys are taking leave.
And I mean, we're never going to, the NHL is run by lawyers. We're never going to get a clear answer, but I think the precedent, it's hard to say, you know, the precedent went around the NHL because the NHL hates precedents, but the precedent for things like this, you think of the Slava Voynov case, you think of the Mike Richards case from a few years ago, you think of, you know, the Corey Perry situation from earlier this year. There is precedent for these things go on. You get charged with something. We suspect something. You are suspended indefinitely. Potentially your contract is terminated depending on the information that we have. Like, okay,
but if the NHL has the Hockey Canada report, which I assume they would, why hasn't this been acted on already, just to make sure that it doesn't get any further than what it does? Again, you could have put the circus to rest a long time ago.
I mean, I think they're leaving it up to, they don't want, I don't think the NHL wants to act because they don't want egg on their face.
Well, it always ends up they do.
They do, because they always wait for, you know, the things to play out the way that they, you know, a lawyer would want them to play out. And when you're thinking of the way Gary Bettman's looking at things, you have to look at it as the way a lawyer would think about it, right? Like, you can't just go in preemptively, even with the report, even with, you know, the knowledge that they might have. They don't want to risk a lawsuit. They don't want to risk looking bad in the media and PR and just suspending a guy before he's been able to have his day in court and whatever. So they're willing to just sit there and let the teams handle it in the background, because it seems like there are some guys that are attached to this that, whether they were involved or not, have gotten the short end of the stick in terms of how they're being treated. But I honestly think that, like, the NHL has themselves painted into a corner where even if they know, they can't act on it until the London police and the, you know, the Ontario provincial courts deal with it.
But if you're, again, if you're going to walk these guys out in shackles and handcuffs and then act on that, you're already late on the draw. Like, this woman was assaulted in 2018. And we're talking about it now in 2024. It's not like this has gone away over the last, you know, 6 years. And yet here we are still trying to figure out what the NHL can or will do. And they've given no indication that this is a problem. Again, Slava Voynov, he was gone from the team in terms of LA kind of trying to distance themselves
immediately.
But again, he was charged with domestic violence, and it was done. Like, you're done. You're not allowed to play. At least you're not allowed to be around the team. We don't want you around the team. How is it that these five players, again, assuming that these five players are going to be charged with what could be charged, how are these five players allowed to be around their teammates?
But I think this, the Voynov case and the Perry case are different, because it was the team decision, right? Like, I guess the same thing with the Mike Richards situation. He was bought out and they cited the legal trouble that he'd gotten into surrounding drug trafficking. But in those situations, it was the teams acting, not the NHL.
Right.
The but NHL does not want to be in any way culpable for anything and have anything be directly their fault. So they will leave it up to the teams to say, hey, and that's probably why I guarantee you when Formanton left and went and signed in Switzerland, Gary Bettman was popping champagne in his office because he's like, okay, one of them is gone. One of these problems is off my plate. And
but I mean the talk of trading Carter Hart to Edmonton, trading, you know, some of the other guys, again, that didn't go away all year, and it's still in the news in terms of Carter Hart being a trade possibility. Mm-hmm. And you kind of go, really? Like, how are we allowing this to even be bandied? Like, again, it should have been, listen, anybody who's got any information on this, shut up about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know. To me, this whole thing, the way the NHL has handled this has been brutal. I mean, don't get me wrong, the London police have their own problems as well. But I guess when you're being paid by the NHL to do an investigation, you do it. So whatever. And we'll get to another London story in a second, because, I mean, there's another big problem out there. But I don't understand. I don't think you'll ever see these players. And again, whether they're charged or not, I don't think you'll ever see them get out from underneath the shadow.
No. Even if they go to court and they are, you know, it's deemed that they are not guilty for whatever reason.
But if you're like, acquitted though, I mean, it's different than saying not guilty. And that's the difference though,
exactly.
Right? Like, I don't understand how they're going to be able to escape the reputation that they have now, because they're
not
the
guilty
ones that
doesn't mean innocent.
Right. They're the ones that got called in to face the police. Mm-hmm. It's not like the rest of the team has been called in. It's just these five guys.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not, believe me, I'm taking nothing away from the victim. I think the victim has a long way to go in terms of healing and getting that done. I want to make sure that everybody's aware that on this show, on this program, the victims have every right to be angry and every right to step mm-hmm. forward. And they should be allowed to and not be afraid to speak out when they feel they've been done wrong. Like, my question though, and again, I'm not worried about their career so much, but how do you go about not being painted as one of those guys?
I think you need to look, if you're one of those players and you want to get out from under the shadow, if you're on that team, you need to do what Duncan Keith and Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane and Brent Seabrook and all the guys from the Chicago Blackhawks team didn't do. And you need to talk.
Well,
you need to,
and
you need to
speak louder than words.
Yes, you need to go out and say, I was not involved. Go to the London police, go to the NHL and say, I was not involved, but here's what I know.
Right. And, like, and see, my thing is that I know that it's a tight-knit community. I know that hockey players will look out for each other. You know, it's the it's the silence. The silence it means nobody's in trouble if none of us talk, kind of idea. Mm-hmm. But in this case, you have to. Like, if this was your sister or your mom or anybody that you know, a female that you know, how do you not come forward and go, I know exactly what happened and these are the idiots that did it?
Yes. Like, it's not, if you weren't in that room, but you protect the people that were when you know something, you are just as bad as they are.
Worse, in my mind, because now you're protecting a crime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean,
they
you
might
know
be your friends,
it,
they might be your buddies, right. Like, but at the end of the day, they did something wrong.
Beyond wrong. I mean, this is, again, this is one of those things where it separates, and again, people will go, oh, well, you know, boys being boys. No, stop it.
Boys being boys is running around getting dirty and, like, you know, climbing a tree. It's not sexually assaulting somebody.
It's not eight guys in a room with one girl. Sorry, I'm sorry to say it. But that's how it is. So whatever. I don't know. To me, if you're going to charge these guys, come right out and say it. Because I'm sick of this going on mm-hmm. as long as it has, and I want some closure for this young lady. I think she deserves it. I think that she needs it. I think that she, whether or not they get all eight, if they just get five out of the eight, that's five more than they had before. But my God, give this woman some closure. Mm-hmm. So that's how I feel about it, because I'm sick of hearing about this, and I'm sick of this hanging over everybody's head when it could be, I hate to say it, could be unfortunate for these five men, but it's only unfortunate for them, and it's a relief for her. And that's mm-hmm. the relief that we're looking for.
Exactly.
So Speaking of London, as I was alluding to, there's another problem in London, as 9 women have now stepped forward. 9 former players have stepped forward to double down on the report, or their reports anyway, at least some of them have reported, to double down and demand transparency from London University regarding the Mustangs women's hockey team and head coach Candace Moxley, and the findings that the university had regarding how she was not responsible and or not culpable for anything that went on with the mistreatment of the women's hockey team. Mm-hmm. These 9 women, some of them we know, some of them we've seen play thanks to our visit in 2018 with the national championship. But the recounting of their stories and reading through the details is pretty sickening. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand how London can sit there and go, la, 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 la. I don't hear anything. And I know this is a PR thing.
Western University thing.
Right. I know this is a PR thing. And again, I'll warn people right now that if we do get into the details here, some of these descriptions are going to be a little mm-hmm. cringy in terms of what went on. So be aware. Listener discretion advised. But I don't understand how 9 former players, 9 players who have played in this program, who have gone to this school, who have legitimately said this happened, aren't being believed when there are other players that are currently saying it as part of that team and going, how is she back? How is she allowed to come back? Mm-hmm. Like Caitlin Booth, her description of what went on with Watson is disgusting.
Yes.
And legitimately, the response from Moxley is even worse.
Yeah. The whole, you know, wear longer shorts next right. time.
Yeah.
The classic victim blaming, what was she wearing response in the 2020s. What era are we in here?
Again, I don't understand. Like in Sydney Baker, who was a forward, added more evidence in that they told Moxley about a neck strengthening exercise they were doing and how Watson made a completely inappropriate comment. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, again, touching people, all that kind of stuff or whatever. And Moxley did nothing. And I don't understand these women have all said, like, I haven't been, well, except for Caitlin Booth. Booth actually spoke to Elizabeth Hewitt as part of the investigation. Mm-hmm. But a number of these other women who have spoken out said, nah, nobody approached us. Which makes me wonder, why were the 45 women selected and how were they selected? Because if you're just going to randomly select players, you're not really doing an investigation. You're just kind of doing a survey. Mm-hmm. If you're going to go and do an investigation, you should have been talking to all of the players since 2018.
Yeah. Like, I think it was very deliberate selection for who would be there. And like, I am surprised and also not surprised, because this is Western University and we have talked at length wow. about the history yeah. that school has with things like this and sham investigations like this. And we just talked about another story that was happening in London, Ontario, around stuff like this and just how it was not taken seriously. There is a culture in that city that is a problem.
Oh, entirely. And like for Booth, so again, Caitlin Booth, fantastic goaltender that she was, she even came out and said, how is it possible the school believed me and others about what Watson did, but didn't believe what we told Mox and asked when we asked for her help? Mm-hmm. Like, if we told our coach what the strength coach did and you fired the strength coach, why wasn't the head coach fired? It doesn't make sense. Like, it's a direct line.
Didn't he leave on his own?
He did, but they basically pinned the whole, all the blame on him after he had left.
Like, but that's the thing, is like it's the thing the NHL does. It's like, it's not our problem anymore.
But that's the thing though.
They don't have to do anything because they can pin it all on him because he's gone. He's not around anymore. We want to keep this person. So we need to shift all the blame off of our staff member.
Right. But Claire Ballas now has brought up the other point, though. If the hockey team is complaining about Watson, and he was the strength and conditioning coach for all the teams. Mm-hmm. How many other athletes aren't being believed then?
Yeah. I would want to know how many basketball players, volleyball players, track athletes, swimmers, golfers, like who did they talk to outside of the hockey team? Who did they talk to, period? And why did they cast such a refined net to talk to people and then just dust their hands and say, we can't substantiate any? Like, did they just listen to what Moxley had to say and turn around and say, yeah, whatever. Like, she said nothing happened, so nothing happened.
Well, but this is the thing, though, is that if 44 girls said it didn't happen and one did, do you believe the one or do you believe the 44 in terms of that setup, right? Like, I'm looking at this as being a survey, as more than being an investigation. Like, mm-hmm. we may have had proof that one person was hurt by whatever Moxley said, but 44 weren't. Yeah. Well, if you chose the 44 that weren't, that's easy to sway that in the favor of Western University. Mm-hmm. Exactly. See, I look at what happened in Lethbridge, and this is where maybe it needs to go now. And I'm not trying to suggest, and I'm not trying to coerce anybody to do anything, but the four women in Lethbridge that basically needed to go to the law and file a civil suit against mm-hmm. Lethbridge in order to get Michelle Janis fired because of what she did, because of the harassment that she put some of them through. Mm-hmm. That might be the next step for the women at Western. Because it seems like whenever money is involved, Western reacts. Not when people yes. are involved, but when money is involved.
Well, it's Western University, right? Like, right. That's their whole deal. Like
the gutlessness and the cowardice that comes out of Western makes me wonder how this is an actual university. It legitimately, it's
not.
You're not leading people to be better. You're only telling them that, you know, cut loose any problems you have and just save yourself for the PR storm.
It's a degree printing press for rich kids. Like that's what it is at this point. Like, because it's not doing anything. Like, what is the administration doing there if they're not protecting people? If they're not protecting the average student that we know verifiably that are being victimized every year at that school?
But like, that's the thing, though, is I don't understand. I don't.
Why
understand.
Are they getting public money if they are like this?
But I don't understand how it can go through multiple levels of administration all the way up to the board of directors mm-hmm. where nobody says any, or I guess not up to the board of directors, but up to the president. And then it comes back to the vice provost of students who finally says, you know what, I'll listen to you. Like, it went up and then started coming, it went up the hierarchy and then started coming back down.
mm-hmm. Yeah, because everybody up at the top, they don't have time for this. They got to worry about, you know, what fancy exotic tree Kevin O'Leary wants to have flown in by helicopter to go into this building that he paid for.
Well, okay, well, like, so what's Christine Stapleton, who's the director of sports and recreation, what is she doing in all of this?
She's doing what the administration tells her to do.
Which means that she's just a pawn in a bigger scheme. This is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, that's the thing, is like, there is literally one person on that staff that cares, one person, and it is all of the rest of the administration sees is the benefit in doing nothing and just hoping that the players that have a problem with it leave and Moxley can bring in new ones and they can just pretend that it never happened. Hey, the guy that was the problem, as they say, is gone. It's not an issue anymore. Let's just move forward. And, you know, the next time the Mustangs are at Nationals, we can all celebrate.
Well, but that's the thing, though, is how do you go to Nationals with only half a team? Like, half the team doesn't mm-hmm. want to play for that school anymore. And I really laugh at that. And I don't mean to laugh.
They're going to try and bully the players to play. Like, that's the thing. We already know that they tried to do that. But
right, yeah.
They're going to bully these players into playing because it's like, hey, you want to advance your hockey career? You want to keep, you know, being at this school and being with your friends and playing hockey at a high level and potentially move on to something, you know, better and greater after this? Get in line.
Like to me, and again, I'm not trying to, again, I'm legally, I have no right, no law degree to be able to say this, But at this point, if Moxley basically was protecting Watson, to not protecting him, but certainly allowing his crimes to continue, would she not be an accomplice at that point?
Yes.
Like, if you knew a murder was going on and you didn't try to stop it, you get charged as an accessory, mm-hmm. do you not? Or as an accomplice, yeah. do you not?
I would say so.
So if this is what was going on, and there's all these sexual assaults going on, and all these, you know, all these, this misconduct going on, and they go and tell Moxley, and Moxley does nothing, would that not make her an accessory as well?
I would say so.
Again, this is where I legitimately go, these women need to sit down in front of a lawyer and have this brought up as a civil case then.
Yeah, because that's the only way that Western's going to listen.
Right, but that's what I mean, though. If you're not going to get, if you can't get the results that you want, and they're not going to release the report for the transparency that's needed in this case, mm-hmm. then you hit them with another lawsuit. I know it sucks, and I know it's time-consuming, and I know it costs money, and I know that nobody's going to, but I guarantee you there's going to be a lawyer out there that'll do this pro bono, because they look at this and they go, we could make a huge amount of money off this.
Yes.
And again, not exactly. saying that the lawyer's going to do it for the money, but they're going to do it for the right reason and benefit from it. Mm-hmm. But again, I legitimately look at this entire debacle that went on in London, and I go, you guys have only made this 10 times worse for everybody in that city. And exactly. your school's reputation, if you're really worried about that reputation, if you were fully worried about how your school looked in the eyes of the public, this right here is the biggest black eye you can have.
They don't care.
But that's the thing. Like, what are we doing here then? If you don't care about mm-hmm. the reputation of an institution like Western University, why are you even in charge? You're not even doing the minimum that's required as being one of the people in charge.
They don't care. Because, hey, if the government comes down and says, you guys screwed up, get out. We are putting new administration in. If the Board of Governors comes down and says, hey, we need to get rid of you and you're fired, they're going to go off to some fancy Bay Street job in Toronto. They're going to go be the director of some company somewhere, VP of whatever company. They're fine.
Hold on.
They're just trying to keep the cash train running.
Hold on. Alan Shepard, who is the vice president, is the president and vice chancellor of Western University. Mm-hmm. He has an English degree. Okay. So Alan mm-hmm. Shepard, who, I mean, again, might be the nicest guy on the planet, might be the dumbest guy on the planet, depending on how we look at what's going on here. Honestly, I don't understand how this guy stays in his job then in terms of what he's done, but his senior leadership experience included terms as provost at Ryerson, which is now Toronto Metropolitan University. He was president at Concordia. Mm-hmm. He chairs the Council of Ontario Universities. He's a past chair of the Canadian Knowledge Resource Network. He's a past vice chair of the U15 group of Canadian Research Universities. And he served in numerous organizations with the arts, healthcare, philanthropy, business in Montreal, Toronto, London, and the U.S.
Yeah, if he loses his job, if somebody
he's got nothing to worry about. Right. He's got nothing to worry about.
Somewhere else.
It's not an English degree, actually. I was going to say, I thought it was an English degree. I was just trying to throw something dumb in there or whatever. But he's a fellowship in humanities.
Yeah.
So he received a bachelor's degree from St. Olaf College, where he's elected Phi Beta Kappa, and holds a doctorate from the University of Virginia. So he's been all over the place. He can go wherever he wants. Honestly, they should punt him as fast as they can.
They should punt the entire administration as fast as they can.
Well, yeah, I mean, that would be great, but
they should punt Moxley as fast as they can.
That's the next step, though. I think that, again, we said the civil suit might be the way to go, but it seems like it's going to be the only way that anybody's going to get any sort of resolution over this, because whatever Western's doing to protect that report isn't doing anybody any favors.
Exactly.
Let's get into a couple of things before we get going. I know we got maybe about 15 minutes remaining here. Obviously, always on the horizon for cool things and kind of neat things that we don't get to see very often. ECHL, as we know, is expanding into Lake Tahoe. Mm-hmm. They have an expansion cousin now that's moving into a city.
Okay.
The ECHL will add their 30th team, 30th.
I saw this.
in Bloomington, Illinois. The Bloomington Bison will take part in the ECHL 24-25 season coming up as they join Lake Tahoe as an expansion cousin. And for those that are wondering that going, I don't even know where Bloomington, Illinois is. It's about 2 hours southwest of Chicago, 3.5 hours west of Indianapolis, and about 5 hours east of Des Moines. It's literally in the middle of nowhere.
Okay. How many times are we going to do this with Bloomington?
Okay, so I went back and looked, and that's where because I thought the same thing. I'm like, Bloomington's been around for a while. They've had a bunch of teams or whatever. They aren't a stranger to professional hockey, as you were just alluding to. The Bloomington Prairie Thunder played in the UHL from 2006 to 2010 before they moved to the Central Hockey League for one season. A new franchise was founded, though, in 2011 after the Prairie Thunder folded as the Bloomington Blaze in the Central Hockey League. They played for two seasons there. They were renamed as the Thunder and moved to the SPHL, where they played just one season in 2013-2014. Since then, the Central Illinois Flying Aces of the United States Hockey League have called Bloomington home as the main tenant in their arena, the Grossinger Motors Arena. So they've had professional hockey in Bloomington since 2006 to 2014, and now they have basically a junior team there. And now we're putting ECHL hockey back in there as the owners of the Indy Fuel, the Hallett Sports and Entertainment, is going to basically set up shop in Bloomington.
So they're going to start a second team.
Correct. Yes. There are 130,000 people that live in the metro area of Bloomington.
By the way, that's not strange. Like, that's been done before.
No. Yeah. Right. Oh, right. I'm not, this isn't a conflict of interest. They're just trying to get sort of stuff going and set up, and owners have owned multiple teams in a small area as well. Basically, they just can't do transactions with each other. That's the only thing they can't do. Mm-hmm. So, the team is going to play out of that Grossinger Motors Arena. It seats 5,600 for fans. Okay. So the ECHL right now has an average attendance of about 4,500 fans. 4,515 is the actual number. 4,515. So they'll need to fill about 80% of the night on a nightly, or 80% of the arena on a nightly basis if they're going to help maintain that average. Mm-hmm. The arena also has 24 private suites and two party suites that can be used. So you might go, okay, well, who's going to go to these games? Like, what is there to do there? Again, the largest employers in the area, State Farm Insurance, mm-hmm. and Illinois State University. Now, if you can't tell me you can't get 1,000 students to come out on a student night for $1 beers or whatever.
I mean,
you're doing it wrong, right?
Pretty good.
Yeah, you're doing it wrong.
And if you need insurance, the third highest employer is also an insurance company.
There you go. See?
Country Financial.
Where they may get some help, though, Bloomington has 5 trains that go each direction between St. Louis and Chicago each day. Amtrak runs 5 trains in each direction. So if you're coming from St. Louis or Chicago, you might get to catch a game in Bloomington at some point, but no big deal at that point. The other wild card, though, is that there's a specific type of snack made there that's made nowhere else. If you've never heard of them, understandable, because they're not found in Canada, but the Beer Nuts brand snacks are made there. So if you're going to team up with anybody.
Hold on, let me look at these.
Beer Nuts brand snacks. Again,
and this looks so good.
Right. So if you can't make some sort of like partnership with Beer Nuts, I don't know what you can do, because you're missing out on all the easy sales at this point. So. Hold on. Bloomington could work. I'm not going to say it's not going to work, because that would be far too cart before the horse at that point. But it could work in Bloomington if they sell it right. Mm-hmm. And again, maybe they do, maybe they don't. I don't know. We'll have to see how it goes over the next few years. But I was shocked that they didn't actually put a team out west like they did, mm-hmm. where a team, and again, there's a city waiting for a team right now, a city that doesn't have a team right now that could certainly use one, in Stockton, California.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like, why hasn't anybody gone back to Stockton and put an ECHL team in there? Especially with teams in Idaho, teams in Utah, teams in Lake Tahoe now. That Stockton team wouldn't be that far away
from any of those guys. The Tahoe Night Monsters?
Please don't. Please don't. But at the same time, though, I thought they'd go west again, but it looks like they're going to plunk somebody down in the Midwest instead of going west. So
okay.
Anyway, Bloomington, Illinois is going to be your new home for ECHL hockey.
The Bloomington Bison.
The Bloomington Bison. Not Bisons, just one singular Bison.
Well, Bison is also the plural.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I'm just, we have the Manitoba Bisons. They have the Bloomington Bison.
This is also the country with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
True, but so. They also drive on parkways and park on driveways. So,
yeah.
Either way, there's your news for expansion. Bloomington, Illinois is going to have a new team. So I thought we'd bring that up. Last but not least, as we kind of close out the show with a fun story here. And I know, Jay, you were always excited to hear about this, but FEMA World Sports School Challenge going on right now. If you're listening to this show, we're calling a game as it speaks, or I'm calling a game, or somebody's calling a game right now, as the game between, I believe, the Lloydminster Steelers and the St. Mary's Academy Flames are just coming to an end here on Thursday night. But if you're looking for something to do tomorrow, here's your catch, folks. If you're looking for something to do tomorrow, the Flames play the Eastman Selects at 7:15. In the at the Hockey for All Center in West Winnipeg, 7:15 on Friday, January 26th, Hockey for All Center, Flames versus Eastman. If your kid wears their team jersey, they get in for free. Any adult accompanying said child also gets in for free. Mm-hmm. So, come on out and pack the barn. Let's have some fun with this.
Yeah,
I don't know about you, Jay, but I'm excited to see everything going on with the tournament this week. I was there earlier this week getting stuff set up, and everybody's pumped. Everybody wants to roll. Like, everybody's going, this is going to be fun. We're going to have a good time this year. So
yeah, it's always a super fun ride.
I mean, you're coming to call games. Brian from the Pity Party coming to call games. Janet Thompson coming to call games. We're excited to have everybody out to do that, obviously, in terms of having a little bit of fun. A lot of good teams coming in. I do want to bring this up, though. I do want to bring this up, and I want to make sure that we touch on this, because the Northern Capitals, who play in Prince George, British Columbia, okay? Prince George, British Columbia, Northern Capitals, were supposed to be at this year's tournament. Okay? Mm-hmm. So they're getting everything done, getting everything put together, getting everything set up. And WestJet, on their local carrier, because they have to fly from Prince George into Vancouver and then Vancouver to Winnipeg. Yeah. Prince George, on their local carrier through WestJet. WestJet phones them and says, hey, guys, by the way, the plane that we have doesn't have enough cargo space for all your hockey equipment. We can't take you.
Oh, no.
To which the Northern Capitals are like, what are you talking about? Like, are you insane? Like, it's a hockey team. Like, we need everybody's stuff there. Yeah, we can't do that. So they quickly have to regroup and get everything going. They phone Air Canada. Air Canada goes, we can do that for you, but it's going to be an extra $300 per person.
Oh, my God, Air Canada, why?
To which they were like, no, like we leave in like a week, basically, or a couple weeks. Like, we can't raise $300 per person extra to go on this trip. Like, that's just insanity. Like, just give us the flight credit for it and we'll go. Like, match the price, basically. Nope. $300 extra per person.
Air Canada be doing Air Canada things.
So they said, okay, well, what if we just bus it down to, it's going to take us an extra day. We'll bus it down to Vancouver and we'll fly from there. Air Canada goes, that's great and everything, except that if you want to fly from Vancouver flights out to Winnipeg, it's going to cost you an extra $1,000 per player.
Oh my God, Air Canada. I am so happy. I'm going to be on an Air Canada flight on Sunday, and I am so happy that I no longer have to fly Air Canada after this, because Porter Airlines does direct flights between Winnipeg and Toronto now.
There you go. So choose your own adventure at that point, right? So as it stands, Northern phoned St. Mary's Academy and said, hey, listen, we can't raise this extra money. We can't do this. This is ridiculous. Like, we're getting screwed over by these airlines. They're out. Northern can't make it. To which, again, St. Mary's is very, we understand why. We get it. We wouldn't put that on anybody. That's ridiculous. And I agree with them. It is ridiculous. So Air Canada and WestJet, shame on you. Northern Capitals, we're going to miss you. We want to see you back next year. Hopefully we can get everything organized, or hopefully the airlines can get their crap together and get everything organized for them to get out to Winnipeg next year. Mm-hmm. Pembina Valley Hawks have stepped in. So Pembina Valley is now taking over the spot that Northern Capitals had. We want to thank Pembina Valley for stepping in and doing that. They were not originally on the schedule. They are on the schedule now. But we're going to miss the Northern Capitals. I thought we'd have three BC teams. We're only going to have two BC teams now, Vancouver Island and the Thompson Okanagan Lakers, but want to make sure that we give a shout out to the Northern Capitals, because they are a good team, and we had them here last year. They were a fun team. They were good. They're great to watch. Good, hardworking team, and we're gonna miss them this year. So
definitely,
Just want to make sure that we get that in there because they deserve a little shout out for that as well. If you're coming down on the weekend, folks, to the Hockey for All Center, $5 per game, $20 for a tournament pass. Get your butts down here. If you're not going to come down, though, you can listen on the UMFM second stream, the online internet stream that we have on UMFM.com. Don't click the actual online stream. That's the actual radio stream. Look for the second stream on there. You might have to search for it. But if you want, go over to the Female World Sports School Challenge webpage. That's fwssc.ca. There's a link right there. You can listen to it as well in terms of where we're going to be. So all that stuff going on in terms of having some good times down at the rink this weekend. And I want to say thanks, Jay, for coming down and doing that. Obviously, before you leave, I know you're going to be busy. So I want to thank you for coming and helping us. But we're just about done out of time here. Anything you want to say before we get out of here?
Yeah, just best of luck to all the teams at the tournament this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm excited. Like I said, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to be there. I've been there all day today, so no big deal that way. But we want to make sure that the show got on and we got all this ready to go for this. So in saying that, folks, come on down. Come join us. Come see us. Come find us down at the Hockey for All Center on the PCL Arena. If you do, give us a wave, give us a shout. We'll certainly wave back. And if we don't see you, make sure you're listening on the second stream here on UMFM. With that, folks, we're out here for another week. Stay tuned for Skippy here on 101.5 UMFM. It's been the Hockey Show for another week. We are going to be back in the studio next week, so make sure you're ready for that. Other than that, we're out here for another week, folks. Have a good one. Take it easy. See you next week.
So nice in Winnipeg. It was freezing, and they kept apologizing for the weather. They're like, sorry it's so cold, sorry it's so cold. I was like, I'm almost positive it's not your fault. But they kept apologizing, sorry about the weather. Eventually I was like, did you not pay a bill or something?
Politely broadcasting from Winnipeg, this is 101.5 UMFM.
Weather worked different up here.